Yes, you are. Well,
how'd you gain the weight? I ate a lot. No. You said 50 pounds. You shouldn't let that happen to you. Very funny.
You know what?
No, I don't want to hear. Let me tell you.
Well,
I have a problem with my elbow. Is that a problem for you?
No.
Ask some questions about it?
No.
You ain't got the answers, man. You ain't got the answers. You ain't got the answers. You ain't got the answers, Sway. I've been doing this more than you. You ain't got.
Come on, chill out.
You ain't got the answers. You ain't got the answers.
You
ain't been doing the education. You ain't been doing the education. You don't have the answers, though. Because you're trying to give me advice about something. You ain't got the answers. You ain't spent $13 million of your own money trying to empower yourself.
Welcome, welcome. This is your girl, Sonya D, and I am the mad, chronically ill girl. Thank you for listening week after week to this podcast as we focus on chronic illness and disability issues that are frequently ignored by the media. It's also 2020, a special day just because, well, people on the internet say so. So let's get the show started. The Super Bowl is also tonight. So good luck to all of you sports fans out there. The Mad Chronically Ill Girl doesn't take sides. We simply speak our minds. Our team that we root for are our listeners, Spoonies, the chronically ill, and the chronically angry, the disabled, the handicapped, or however you choose to identify. Welcome to the team. We have a few things that we want to talk about today, and I just want to start with a few things that I've personally been going through. Back in August, some of you know that I was in a rehab facility where I finally began to learn some of the things that, let's just say, no one ever taught me. I've been in a wheelchair now since 2011. It was October 2011. So it's the year 2020 now, and no one ever really taught me how to use a wheelchair. It was basically, I picked up my generic $80 wheelchair from a Walgreens medical center, and it was, here you go, and no one ever really showed me how to use it. So in the rehab, I actually learned how to maneuver and get in and transfer in and out of a chair safely. So hey, things I should have learned a long time ago, but as they say, you're never too old to learn. So in 2012, I purchased a wheelchair with my own money. It was almost like $2,500, and I bought the so-called Cadillac of wheelchairs, the colors. It was a razor blade. Personally, I actually wanted the shock blade, but I thought that I was spending too much money as it was. But now your girl is using the Aero T, the Tylite wheelchair, and it has a nice heavy cushion. I don't have all the specifications on it at this time, but I'll get it for you soon. I will say this, that my colors chair handles better than my Aero T. It's very light. It weighs 12 pounds. It's extremely light. You could probably pick up this chair with one hand versus my Colors chair. But the Colors chair can handle a little bit better, especially when I go around curves and going around making turns. But the chair is light, and it's not a bad chair. It actually isn't a bad chair. As you know, I currently own 4 chairs. The first was my Quickie GPV. The second one was the generic chair that I just spoke about for $80, which I believe was from Sunrise Medical Equipment. And then my razor blade chair, and that one has the Snoopy upholstery. And now I have the Tylite chair. So I've been through many of the wheelchair companies as it is. I like to have those color lights on the front of my chair. While some people think it looks juvenile, it actually saved my life once because everything was dark out, and the driver actually didn't even see the stop sign, saw the little lights on the bottom of my chair. So it worked out. And now, a story.
25-year-old Shauna Ward was a daycare teacher, and to her family, pure sunshine.
She was loved by everybody. That was my baby.
But on January 2nd, her family says she became a victim of a terrible mistake Waiting so long in the emergency room, she left for an urgent care and died. At 4:30, Ward texted her mother she was going to the hospital with chest pains and trouble breathing. According to the medical examiner, by 4:58, staff at Milwaukee's Froedtert Hospital gave Ward an EKG and chest x-ray, which showed an enlarged heart. Around 7:30, Ward posted on Facebook, "Something needs to be done with the emergency system." She says she was told it could be 6 hours, so she left, heading for an urgent care. She never made it.
Dispatch, 16, transporting Froedtert.
At 9:25, she was pronounced dead.
She had a lot of dreams, and her life ended way too soon.
In a statement, the hospital expressed sympathy, but said it can't comment further. The family has hired an attorney. Dr. Martha Gulati, a cardiologist who's read the medical examiner's report, says Ward's story is far too common for heart patients.
Younger people have the greatest delays in even initiating care. We say it's worse to be a woman, and it's worse to be a young woman. It's also worse to be a young Black woman.
Tonight, Ward's family calling for change while mourning the bright light they've lost. Kristen Dahlgren, NBC.
This is all wrong. People are suffering.
Tashana Ward was a daycare worker. She had an enlarged heart and reported to the ER with classic heart attack symptoms. Within hours, she was laying dead on the cold ground of a parking lot as she looked to get help for her symptoms. How many of you have found yourselves waiting in an emergency room in need of help? I once went to the ER with complaints that it was increasingly getting harder to breathe. But the ER doctor was polite, and he listened to my chest for a mere 10 seconds before discharging me within 30 minutes before I was sent on my merry way with a prescription for ibuprofen. I will tell you that those of you who know me well will tell you what I did with that prescription. I left it right there. I also remember calling my mother after this event. I actually went to the grocery store after leaving the hospital because even though I was having a hard time breathing, I'm still a mother. And I told my mother on the phone that I'm going to die. And I said, "Mom, they're going to kill me." Those are my exact words. She chastised me then for saying them. But those words would take on a profound meaning because 3 days later, I went into respiratory arrest in my home, May 12, 2012. I often think of that day when I'm alone with my thoughts. I think about the date that would have been on my tombstone, May 12, 2012. And that would have been a date that would have been very significant for my family, but not so significant for a certain ER doctor who took 10 seconds to listen to my chest before he discharged me with ibuprofen. What would it have meant for all the people who have contributed to our broken healthcare system with overworked and underpaid staff who are reduced to making guesses for who will get a bed in a hospital and who won't? Well, let's just be honest, people. If you were a white man and you had those same symptoms as Tashana, you can guess that at least you'll be taken more seriously than a 25-year-old Black woman. And I hear some of you say, "Hey, well, you know, she was young, even though the echocardiogram came back normal. She had an enlarged heart, you know, but she was young. Why would anybody believe that she is going to have a heart attack?" Well, the fact that she has cardiomegaly and the fact that she was having these same symptoms that hasn't been alleviated, one would hope that her symptoms would be taken more seriously. They were not. And her symptoms were taken down and she was placed at the back of the line. And she's not the only Black woman to die while trying to seek help from medical professionals. We have to take bias against women and people of color out of our healthcare system because it's killing us. So now let's get ready to get to the gist of today's episode regarding the issues of disability in society. I will now take you to a wonderful place. I believe it was Pleasant Hills. And let us go to Target, where the middle-class housewives go and buy expensive and overpriced junk that will wind up in landfills 50 years from now after the Second American Civil War will end. Let's pick up the story from there, shall we?
A man thrown out of his wheelchair in the middle of a Target store. Good evening. I'm Ken Bastida.
And I'm Elizabeth Cook. The confrontation happened over a parking spot. The victim tells KPIX 5's Andrea Nakano he feared for his life.
Philip Kinsler, the victim, says it was in this parking lot where he approached a woman and lightly tapped on her window. According to Kinsler, he just wanted to point out that she was in a disabled spot because he didn't see any placards. That encounter then fueled a violent assault inside this Target store.
I was scared. I mean, I've never been that scared in my entire life.
Philip Kinsler was just making a run to Target to return a shirt. He never thought the parking lot encounter would lead to this.
And I held on to the wheels for dear life.
This is the first time Kinsler watched the surveillance video of the incident that happened on January 11th. Kinsler says a man approached him in the store saying he wanted him to come out and apologize to his wife.
I think he was going to take me out and they both were going to work on me.
Instead, Kinsler was thrown off his wheelchair and tried to brace the fall with his left arm. The incident inside the Target store lasted just about a minute and a half. Kinsler feared for his life, and it surprised him that nobody came to help.
The thing that hurt me the most was that people just stood around and did nothing. It would have been easy just to stand in front of my wheelchair.
Kinsler has been in a wheelchair for roughly 30 years. He depends on both arms to maintain his independent lifestyle. With a broken wrist, his life may now be changed forever.
I was just thinking, this guy knew exactly what to do to just destroy me. Because without my arm, without my wrist, no family, a nursing home, no guitar.
Pleasant Hill police have arrested Jimmy Tiger of San Ramon. He faces assault and kidnapping charges. In Pleasant Hill, Andrea Nakano, KPIX 5.
How dare you?
52-year-old Philip Kunstler's life may be forever changed. For those who heard and saw the news story before this, one can see that he uses a manual wheelchair to get around. And I use a manual wheelchair. I'm sitting in my brand new Aero T right now, Tylight. And one knows that if you have a broken wrist, it would be very hard for you to push yourself and maintain some semblance of independence. In fact, because he has a broken wrist, one could argue that it'd almost be impossible for him to be able to remain independent, at least until he continues to heal. One could get the picture that Philip does quite well on his own as he gets around using his manual chair. He's been using it for 30 years, like I said. I'm not sure he made it clear why he uses a chair, but that part doesn't really matter, does it? The fact of the matter is that because he approached someone and told them that they were illegally parked in a disabled parking space, it cost him the use of his arm for quite some time, and perhaps even his dignity. It's already difficult to live life using a chair, but it's not impossible. Of course, people do it all the time. I am doing it as we speak. I don't really believe that some people understand the importance of these little parking spaces or disabled bathrooms or how these things make our lives easier. Without disabled parking, it would be almost impossible for some disabled people to get out and live the lives that most able-bodied people enjoy without even thinking about it. Just the other day, because there was no disabled parking available, I had someone back out their car so that I could roll my chair to their door and get inside of a building. Even those who are disabled with placards and license plates, they also abuse this parking. They let other people use their placards, they park in the wrong places, it's almost ridiculous. Even those, you know, I'm not going to get into who may deserve a parking placard and who can't, but I would just say it would be very difficult to try and convince someone that you need a disabled parking placard when you're walking around the mall for 3 hours with no issue. If you could walk around a mall for 3 hours, then I would need to understand why you would require a placard. Hey, maybe that's not any of my business, but I feel as if sometimes it is abused a lot. So people are just inconsiderate these days, and it seems that no one cares. They believe that disabled people are entitled brats in the first place, and that we're seeking special treatment. Well, how can we get special treatment when the treatment that we get isn't equal to the treatment that able-bodied people get? Like, it's ridiculous to me. I mean, he asked someone not to park in disabled parking because they weren't disabled, and he gets thrown out of his chair. Okay, I deserve to be looked in the eye when you talk to me because I can walk very short distances with a cane. I've experienced this personally. When I'm standing up, I get more respect. When I'm sitting down, I get infantilized. I once went in a store with a cane, and I was treated one way. You know, people looked at, oh, okay, well, she has a cane, maybe she broke her leg. I came back in that same store maybe 10 minutes later because I forgot to get something, but this time I used my wheelchair. It was almost as if I wasn't even the same person. I was the same person. I was me. When I walked in the first time, when I walked in the second time, I didn't shapeshift into something. I remained me. It was the fact that I was using a wheelchair that changed the game for everyone else. And it was almost as if the wheelchair did something completely remarkable. It completely erased my humanity. When Mr. Tiger grabbed the back of Kunstler's handles on his chair, he did something that was akin to picking up an able-bodied person and moving them to another location. I mean, just imagine if you're able-bodied. And a stranger, complete stranger, comes, gives you a bear hug, lifts you up, and carries you and puts you in another location. Unreal. The charges against Mr. Tiger are assault, of course, but there's another charge that he's going to face, and that is kidnapping. Now, this charge surprised me, and I'm not really sure why, because, I mean, it fits the definition. I didn't expect it, honestly, but I'm glad that the authorities are taking his actions seriously. In criminal law, kidnapping is the unlawful transportation and confinement of a person against their will. Thus, it is a composite crime. That's exactly what he did. He unlawfully took possession of this man's wheelchair and moved him to a place against his will. Okay, I'm even sure that his attorney would even argue that this charge, you know, and probably try to seek to have it dropped since he was only moved a couple of feet. But his actions are clear and they're on camera for the entire world to see. He took a person against their will. Now, elements prosecution going to prove that you caused physical pain or mental suffering, the victim was elderly or dependent, that you knew or should have known that the victim was dependent, I mean, he was in a wheelchair, or you willfully and negligently inflicted pain on this person, but you don't have to personally inflict pain in order to put someone in harm's way. Now, when we go out, should we still tell people, hey, you're in a handicapped spot? I mean, it's not like they don't know, they just park there. You know they did it. That's the problem. They know and they don't care. So, I mean, it's something to think about, folks. I mean, is this something that we should do? These people know that they're parked illegally. Is the fact is they don't care. So what is the purpose of telling someone something that they already know and henceforth don't care about? It's something that I've done, and I'm actually going to rethink this, not from a place of fear, but it's just something, if that person already knows that they're parking into this position and this space, it's just that they don't care. And you can't cure callousness. You can't cure ignorance with a simple reminder. I mean, he didn't care. You know, I'm pretty sure that the defense is going to say that the guy in the wheelchair was threatening in some way, that, you know, they're going to make him look like a raging maniac in a wheelchair, hell bent on demeaning this woman, calling her names and making threatening gestures all while sitting in a chair. And I don't want to give the impression that disabled people are helpless and that we can't be threatening and that we can't be dangerous. We most certainly can be. I just don't know what was said in that conversation. However, Mr. Tiger's actions against this disabled man is outrageous, and he should be ashamed of himself. And I'm sure if he gets convicted, people in prison won't take too kindly, You know, they don't, you know, people in prison, regardless of whatever morals or messed up morals that they have, it is a well-known fact that, you know, people in prison do not like when vulnerable populations like women and children and the elderly and disabled people are taken advantage of. So will this stop you from confronting people in the future? I mean, do you do this now? Will this story make you think again? Is it just safer to contact the authorities when people abuse disabled parking or anything else? I found personally that when I confront people in real life, that they just shrug their shoulders at me and continue doing what they're doing. You know, they just be like, whatever. It's only rare that they actually move. You know, the other day the lady moved, you know, before showing me her placard, but I told her, hey, you may have the placard there, young woman, but you're still in the wrong spot, because she was actually blocking the you know, the entryway to get into the pharmacy. So when she saw that she was in the wrong, she kind of mouthed the words, I'm sorry, and she backed out her car. However, it's a tricky thing because you never know what type of person that you're approaching. You never know if you're really doing the right thing. I mean, what if the person you approach is going to explode on you, ready to do physical harm to you? So be careful out there, whatever you decide to do, take it case by case. And it's just super frustrating to see people flout the laws and restrictions and regulations that actually help disabled people get around. My lovely listeners, I will leave you with this. Life isn't fair. If it were, things would be a lot different in this world. But in this exaggerated and non-existent fair world, I wouldn't dare ask that I no longer be disabled. I wouldn't ask for my legs to magically work right so that I could go and pursue the dreams that I've always had and that many able-bodied people are able to do without thinking. In this fair world, I wouldn't pray that all disability go away in a blink of the eye, nor would I ask for there to be a need for no more wheelchairs, hearing aids, walkers, walking sticks for the visually impaired, antidepressants, or hospitals for the mentally ill. In this fair world that I would create, I would only ask for more understanding, compassion, acceptance, empathy, and love, so that instead of just my disability, that people would see me. I would ask for the world to get rid of the word normal and realize that it's just a setting on your washing machine. That the more we all try to reach for quote unquote normal, the less accepting that we are of the things and people who embrace quote unquote different. Perhaps if we try to embrace the different, in this we learn to accept each other. And with that, I am the Mad Chronically Ill Girl. Thank you for tuning in this week. I threw this episode in because I really wanted to talk about this issue. Our next episode is going to be dealing with service animals, and we'll have a special guest on to talk about that. I can't wait to share this interview with my listeners. Until next time, stay angry, because I am.
Stop. Stop being so mean.